We're back. Scott at Sharing the Burden, 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Live every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. with, today with Laura Cusack and Jeff West. Laura's with the Hummingbird, and we're going to talk a little more, not so much about the Hummingbird, but about her sense of where we're going with today's discussion. I know she had some thoughts there, and we just told her, come on closer to the mic, and everybody out there is going to hear you, you know. So she's doing that bit by bit. But Laura, you mentioned something that's profound in the context of what Jeff was saying, and that is that if we can hold back giving people our solution to whatever their problem is, they will learn in a natural way. And you know, we call that a spiritual learning, and we call it whatever people want. But when we see that, we know our program's working. Because if we give them advice, well, there's a lot of things that can be wrong with giving advice. Number one, if that person came to a program with all sorts of expectations, which we try and tell them not to do anyway, but if they do, whatever you say is gospel to them, and they take that home, and they'll try the things, you know, because you come in with some superiority in the subject matter, at least, and you'll give them your solution. And if that doesn't work, big problem.
Yeah,
program doesn't work.
But our advice is coming from our personal frame of reference and experience, and our experience is not their experience.
No. Mm-hmm.
So they need to, by vocalizing what's going on in their lives and letting them work through in their own time what's happening and what they think the solution could be, they'll find a solution that will work for them.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then there are professionals out there that you route them to that can guide them down a professional path.
Yep.
But not as a professional psychologist or psychologist or even a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And the social workers will tell you right up front that they also do not give advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
They let the person develop their own sense of what the right path will be for them, because every person, every individual is different.
Yeah, and unless somebody asks, you know, particularly like, what do you think about something? I mean, then we can say, my experience, or I don't have experience, but I think, but usually, well, my experience with such a thing is this, and this was my solution, but I'm telling you right now, I can't know for certain or really in any way, shape, or form whether this will work for you or not. You know, but you're willing to try, but remember that. Remember that part, that it's, you know, if you try something somebody else used and it works, great. But I would rather that you sit in this meeting where everybody is focused on a topic, whether in this case it's the 11th step, where we're trying to, you know, get closer to our sense of a higher power and build a relationship and sort of experience somehow that contact. We call it conscious contact here. But whether you're doing that or not, you know, your solution to whatever it is can be found oftentimes by you just focusing on the topic at hand, whether it's that or whatever it is, and as others speak, never offering advice, giving their experience, strength, and hope on the issue, quite often you'll hear something that'll work for you, and it won't be somebody told you. It won't be that the guy next to you, after hearing your sharing, has a solution. And even if that person magically, you know, needs to tell you about their solution about that, that person's going away from the program as we know it to work. Because we really do believe in this this spiritual happening. And, you know, whether you come from a spiritual background, religious or whatever, almost everybody believes there's something, you know, a lot greater than humans out there. And somehow being connected seems to make a difference for people. So that being said, what do you do in a case like that? You know, how do you help somebody if you think you know the solution and they don't? Well, you don't give them one. But as Laura said, you can start with a professional. But if that person will hang around support mechanisms long enough, my experience is that they'll get their answer, you know.
And sometimes people need to fail.
True.
It's a kind of a natural reaction to try and protect people and guide them down a path that will increase the probability of success and prevent them from going through that failure experience, because you know it's going to be hard on them.
Yeah.
But sometimes people need to fail to be able to see what's right. Mm-hmm. And they don't see that this is the right path until they see that that is definitely the wrong path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, this step, actually, I'll read the step just so folks know what we're talking about. Today's sharing, and again, this is in the Life Recovery Devotional, which is a sharing that works in tandem with the scriptural reference we use, which is the Life Recovery Bible, as a basis for, well, it's a basis for all 12-step programs, really, but it's the one that we use specifically. Anyway, this 11th step says, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And many of the organizations out there who use 12-step will say, contact with God of your understanding, not to put either God in a box or you in a box. What you believe is your own business. And the last part of it is praying only for the knowledge of his will, for the knowledge of that power's will for us and the power to carry that out. So, mm-hmm. in other words, what they're saying prayer boils down to is a seeking this higher power's way or answer and not a human answer. And what we've found is whatever you believe in, oftentimes and very often, in the context of a support meeting where everybody is there to, number one, care for everybody else, but actually that'll be number two, but number one, to focus on what's going on in order to receive something that will help them with their particular illness or emotional upset, whatever it is, and it works. If everybody focuses on that thing in the middle of the table, mm-hmm. as opposed to how to fix each other. So codependency, many of you have an understanding of, I believe, but I believe codependency is trying to make oneself feel good on the inside by affecting things, people, places, and so on the outside. So, in other words, to feel good, if you cannot feel good yourself, by yourself, and with your sense of whatever, then you'll reach out and try and build happiness through doing things for other people, to other people, basically changing other people and guiding them in the way that you think works. And, you know, to some degree that works, but to a large degree, I don't believe it does. So mm-hmm. any comments or thoughts on that line of thought?
well, in this, when I was reading this through, it was actually talking somewhat about more of us, we think about the wrong things we've done. So I've chosen wrong, I've done wrong, I've thought wrong, I acted wrong. And so basically this is saying, look forward. Really that step, he's saying, it's trying to say, okay, look forward. And so the thought came to my head, today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. Yeah. So it's true. And we do the page that says yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's so right. We try not to focus on yesterday, and that talks about that. We try not to focus on tomorrow because that's not happened. Mm-hmm. And so we just have today. So somewhere in between today and going forward, as we move forward, we can make better choices. It's not always easy because there's temptations along the way. But it's very, at least it's positive in that aspect, mm-hmm. because failure is, you can, even scripture says you confess failure.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. God doesn't ask for, this is the way I think the New Testament says it, he doesn't ask for penance. He provided a way for salvation, and that was what that was the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what all the death, resurrection, and his perfect life was about. And then he stands in the place where I can't. I am a sinner. That's how it works to me.
Yeah.
And so all God asks for is, he doesn't say, try and fix yourself, try and do something to pay penance for that. No, you go, it just says you ask him, the higher power, for forgiveness. Yeah. He's willing to do that. I just have to let it go,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
that's right. I have to be willing to share it, yeah. which may be painful because, yeah. you know, it's worse than what I want anyone else to know. And yet, that's all he says. The transparency to him is transparency, because then I can't hide anything from him.
Yeah.
I could hide it from other people, yeah. but I can't hide from him. And so that openness, then he just says, okay, now I apply forgiveness to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't for someone else who's not going to do it. So in a room setting, I can't That's why we say, you know, like, I can be right. I can get right. Yeah. You can get right too, but it's up to you to do that.
Yeah.
I can't be there all the rest of the time. I can't be there for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Even my own children.
Yeah, yeah.
When they make their wrong moves, then we've tried to help, but we can't do anything to fix that, really. They mm-hmm. have to deal with their life.
To want it, yeah.
Each person.
You know, the other thing, you mentioned it, piece of prose, the literature piece we call Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, which talks exactly what Jeff said. We've taken it down a notch, in a way, and the way I describe that piece now is that it separates history from the future. So, you know, everything behind is over and done with, and everything ahead has not begun. So I've completed the last thing that was doing. It's over. And I haven't started the next thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where we're at, and that is now. Okay, and now is consistent because there can never be anything but now. Whether it was 10 million years ago and whether it's a century and a half ahead, when we're there, it's always now. So, you know, it's now. It's now. It's now. And that place is always that place outside of time because the last thing is finished and the next thing has not begun. So now splits future and past. And almost all of our religions out there, especially the Christian one, says that, you know, like the new calendars, it splits time. Okay, like along came a savior, you know, and from that birth date, we started a calendar, and that's what we live by, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like the time got split there. But I think of this now, and Jay, you may have heard me say this, I'm doing it a lot in meetings now in the jails, is that, you know, we get to that place where really time doesn't move. There's you know, it's the only place I think humans can to go to, even in an imaginary sense, where things have stopped. Because the last is done, the next hasn't started. So now is like a sacred place for me. And when I tell these people in the meetings, you know, let's just imagine that we're all going to go there, you know, collectively or together for an hour. And, you know, we'll have our meeting in there. And, you know, and when we come out, we'll have been unaffected by everything that's going on, you know. So, and it seems to work pretty good, you know. Mm-hmm. The other major point I'll get you guys to comment on is, you were talking, well, I don't know if you mentioned this, but free will, you know, our free will, like regardless of what you believe, we all sort of believe we have choices, we can make choices. If we believe in an almightiness, whether it be God or, you know, Buddha or whatever it is, I mean, we all have reasons to believe the way we do. That almightiness to be real, you know, if you want to call, like the native people do, a creator, whatever you want to call, has to have an awareness. If this entity created everything and us and everything else, there has to have been an awareness not only of the beginning and the end, all sort of at the same time, but also the increments that go in between. So, you know, this entity, this God would have to be able to look any time at any person, you know, and have known beforehand what that person was going to do. So, and this doesn't affect our free will. I'm trying to explain this to people. So, well, just because there's something higher that knows what you're going to do with your free will does not mean it affects your free will in any way as far as you're concerned. Mm-hmm. But it does put a block in the way a lot of people think, and that, you know, if something's that great and he knows what I'm going to do with my free will, well, what's the point of having the free will? You know, and that was the question I kind of asked you before we started the show. And I thought, well, that's a valid question, but you never know if there is something greater, if there's something higher, if there's an intelligence. Well, it has to know all these things, you know, and it can't have anything missing. It would be a part-time God or a part-time higher power or, you know. But in order to believe that totally, we have to go back in our program to the first step, where we recognize that we're powerless over something. That's where it starts, powerless over my addiction, powerless over my anger, whatever it is, powerless over my depressive issue and so on. I have to admit that I'm totally powerless, in my case, not only there, but period. Without something greater, I don't exist, not in my own mind anyway. So what that says is, if I want power, if I want strength, if I want something worthy, I have to find it, I have to go for it, I have to seek it, I have to make it my life, which I sort of did, like even from a young kid, I always want to know how, why else stars, and if there's not only a million stars, but a million other galaxies with endless, you know, like it boggles the mind. It makes you crazy if you, you know, and if you get into mathematics, you can just, you know, use infinity and for eternity and stuff, and it seems to satisfy some people, but it's all based on something. But that in mind, free will, you know, like yours or God's, like how do you differentiate, Jeff? I mean, in your own mind, somebody asked
deep philosophical
you.
Question there.
It's well, pretty early, isn't it?
I pray for an answer.
I'm using up all my brain power. Well, actually, so I just, the thing I thought of was perspective.
Yeah.
So there's perspective from God, that perspective, who I'm not.
Yeah.
So, but I imagine about the one I'm thinking of. So that's a perspective, right? And so what's his perspective? And then my perspective. And so there's that sort of thing that happens. And so really my perspective is very small. And that's, you know, that's kind of where, but that's my world. Each one of us has our own perspective. And it's been developed for many from childhood, you know, your upbringing. I have a middle class Caucasian upbringing. I don't think like another. I don't think like a woman. I don't think like a rich person. I don't think like, you know, so there's all sorts of, so a perspective is, and we just have to deal with other people's perspectives. But at the same time, we're stuck in our shell, the body. And in who I am, I have a developed perspective of a higher power or a will. My will actually is, it seems very easy to choose my will. I chose to come here. I didn't have to come here this morning.
That's right.
This 4 or 5 hours ago, you hadn't asked me. So I was going to do something else, but then something changed and I thought, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
So my will is, it seems very fluid. Our own wills are very fluid, and our choices. And that's why people can choose wrong, right? So that's how people can choose to get in predicaments. And you can't say, oh, someone else made me do that, or the devil made me do that, or whatever you say, right? Unless it was a drunk driver hits me while at an intersection, then I was in a plan that wasn't part of what I wanted. Yeah. But then I have to say, well, was that part of a higher power's plan for me? I find it very,
it's a tough one,
difficult.
Well, and the other part of perspective is people typically do what they feel to be the right thing at the moment.
Yeah.
Almost always they'll do what they feel is right for them. So from their perspective, even though from your perspective you're going, don't do that, that's the wrong thing, from their perspective they're seeing it as the right thing. We don't know what their journey is, we don't know what their background is, we don't know where they've come from, we don't know where they're going, we don't know what the outcomes are intended to be for them. Maybe they have a lesson they need to learn, maybe they have a journey that they need to accomplish that we know nothing about. So we only have our limited frame of reference. So we have to be careful we don't impose our frame of reference on somebody else's journey.
Yeah, good thought. We're going to take one more quick break there and get some of our advertising out into the air there. We can't do this unless we have some. So please, my friend Jay, take us out for a minute.